Hi there, and welcome to the Engage Customer Podcast. Our mantra is that organisations need to be where their customers are, cutting across internal silos and taking a more holistic view, delivering a consistent service across all channels, offline, online, social and mobile. For over a decade, we've helped some of the world's biggest brands engage with their target customers on a deeply emotional level with industry-leading conferences and online digital media. To find out more, visit engagecustomer.com.
In this episode, we sat down with Pete Pulgraf, VP of Global Service Desk, ServiceNow DevOps Transformation and Workspace. Recognized as a direction setter and transformational leader, his passions are customer service, continuous improvement, and helping others achieve goals. With a no-excuses approach to IT operations, he aims to catalyze measurable high performance. We speak to Pete about what it's like to work at DHL and more about recent projects and future plans.
Good day to you. How are you?
Good, Martin. How are you?
Yes, excellent. Thank you very much. Let's just get into sort of the obvious bit as scene setters. Bit about you, bit about how you got into DHL.
Sure. So I've been with DHL for about 18 years. And, you know, about around 18 years ago, actually this month, you know, I decided to take a leap of faith and jump from a company I was working for at the time called Avnet. Yep. And come over and join DPDHL, and it's been an amazing ride ever since. So I started my career in Scottsdale, Arizona, and now I'm living here in the Czech Republic. So it's a It's a beautiful journey, and you know DPDHL is one of the best companies on the planet, right? So I'm really happy to be here and part of our own ecosystem. So
that's fantastic. So unpack me the role a bit in terms of what you have to do and your span of interest.
Sure. So for my organization, so I work for IT services, which is a part of our global business shared services across DPDHL. And we take care of our internal DPDHL users, right? So our fellow employees and colleagues across DPDHL. And my role is our internal service desk.
Right.
So we have about 400 agents that support our employees across the globe. And, in addition to that, I'm responsible for our service management platform. So our ServiceNow platform that supports the group. So that's kind of what we're responsible for. And it's a hell of a ride. I'll tell you that much.
That's interesting. So, I mean, I bet you I could do a good second guess, but how does knowledge management plumb into that?
Right smack dab in the middle. I think it's, regardless of which organization under the umbrella we're talking about, it's a major piece of what we do every day.
Yeah.
And so important to our ability to deliver the end result to our internal customer and thus deliver a better service to our external DPDHL customers who use our services across the globe.
Yeah, I got it. I mean, just as a subset of that, I mean, actually from this background as well, so I'm kind of interested in the whole thing. Today's actually taking us on a very broad journey of knowledge management, in different respects, but back into almost a classic customer service environment, knowledge management, et cetera, et cetera. I'm dead interested in the sort of the rebalancing of live and self-serve and all of that. And to my mind, one of the enablements of self-service is knowledge management. If you don't know what you got, you can't hand it off to the customer. The second thing is that you can't have complicated processes. You've got to simplify it, et cetera, et cetera. But is knowledge management for you also connected? Simple question. Are you delivering all live or have you got a certain degree of self-serve? As far as responding to those questions from your internal customers?
Yeah, so it's a combination. So we have live with the agents and we have a self-serve tool as well, one of our chatbots that helps our end users, find their way through. And I think, it's a bit of like most companies are going through, it's not always easy to get the end user to pivot and change and try to help themselves. One of my thoughts is it's amazing how in our personal lives, we are very much eager to help ourselves.
Yes.
But when we fall into the walls of our business,
yes,
sometimes it's just solve it for me, please.
Yes.
Right. And you know, I can understand that because maybe in our personal lives, we have a little bit more time to hunt and peck. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, in business, we just want rapid, you know, fixes. Right. We want to move on and get this problem behind us so that we can go serve our customers. Right.
Yeah, sorry. I was just talking to somebody yesterday and we were talking about the flip now as people are getting out from being stuck at home. Yeah. You know, and the bottleneck that we had on live assistance. And interestingly, driving to people's self-service, somebody said, and it's a big organisation, we're beginning to see people reverting back to the willingness to sit in a queue and talk to a live assistant because that self-service, you know, they're losing the habit. And it was really worried that they were going to start to lose some of the benefits. And we were talking about, unless it's easier than, human beings are always going to revert to the least line of least resistance, you know, at the end of the day. And
Absolutely. And I think that's why, you know, what we're trying to focus on are a few things within ours. And it's not so much around knowledge management, just our whole approach is about the EX, the UX, and the CX, right? So the employee experience, which leads to understanding what our end user or the consumer of our service wants, and really creating that user experience, right? That technology that helps helps people get through things in a faster way. And I think you're absolutely right, Martin. You know, people will revert back to, if I just call Pete, he can solve it for me, right? And that's beautiful, right? But again, you know, it's different how they'll do it on a weekend when they're dealing with something in their private lives, right? They'll sit and they'll hunt and peck because I got time. Yeah. And so I think it's amazing how it shifts. But I think to me, the employee experience is so important for us because the more the happier the employee is, I know it sounds pretty easy, right? But the happier the employee is, the more they connect to the colleague that they're talking to within DPDHL. And the more they connect, the more understanding, empathy, and understanding they have to understand how to solve their issue, one, but also give the feedback through the food chain on what the user is looking for.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Mindset matters absolutely. And if you've threatened and upset, you're antagonistic, you know, you're not going to collaborate. So happiness is a very good summary of the state of mind you need that person to be in, you know, to get the job done and all the rest of kind of stuff like that. So knowledge management, without over-egging it, really is pretty much central and important to you. Can we explore a bit about how you go about that? I mean, it doesn't turn up by magic, does it, knowledge? You know, it needs to be looked after. Constant thing. Have you got people dedicated to that, or have you embedded as a sort of everyday job for everybody? How have you sort of swung that?
A combination. So we have a few dedicated people across the globe that are kind of driving the knowledge, right? So understanding. So we have a very regional, very global team. And in each of the regions in AP, in the Asia Pac world, in Europe and Americas, we have people who are focused on understanding, you know, what's happening in that space. Right? What are the users looking for? What are the agents, you know, what are the needs that the agents have on a regular basis? Are we serving those needs? You know, what do we do in our knowledge path to continue to drive that? And we have one person who is responsible globally for kind of connecting those dots, right? So you have very regional needs, but you have a global oversight, if you will, to make sure that we have consistency across the globe. Because to me, you know, it's very easy in any company to fall into regional needs.
Yes.
And while that's a necessity for some things, you also have to have that global governance to make sure that we are providing consistency of service and the information is valid across the whole globe.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Are you finding that I've talked earlier in the previous session about the rate of decay of knowledge. Are you finding, what's your balance between it's always been that way and that knowledge remains, you know, up to date versus, oh my goodness me, during COVID, it's just gone crazy, you know, and I can't believe how fast stuff is moving.
Yeah, I think, again, I think it's a combination. I think for us, we're finding that, you know, because our business is so dynamic. And, you know, the COVID period for DPDHL has been a big growth period for us. You know, a lot of industries are suffering where for us in the logistics sector, we are increasing.
Yes.
Right? Because the demand in the e-commerce, the demand for people to move things, across the globe. So we're seeing that as we roll out more, newer technologies or new applications, more and more our knowledge base is increasing. You have like most companies, you have the core set of applications and services that you provide. So that stays pretty consistent. And I think that's where we're also trying to look at, with that consistent base, how do we move that to self-help?
Yes.
Because, when things are pretty stable, it's easy to identify the opportunities to self-help that, if you will. Mm-hmm. But, but again, as I said earlier, sometimes it's hard to get people to move to that direction. So, you're always going to have a little bit of cross-pollination between both worlds. But I think we are seeing that the knowledge is shifting and changing, and the need to keep it up to date is key.
Yes.
Because, if you're not doing that, you're not serving your end user and you're not serving the people who are trying to help them.
So what are some of your techniques for spotting gaps? I mean, I would personally always put analytics in the mix as a way, frontline listening, et cetera. What's your strategy on that?
I think it's pretty similar. I mean, we do ride-alongs, what we call ride-alongs with agents, so we understand exactly what's happening on the ground. We do it sporadically throughout the organization to make sure that we have a kind of a now view of what's happening.
Right.
Additionally, we are making sure that we're connecting with our backline organizations more, so that we keep their knowledge fresh as well. Because there's knowledge that we have for the stuff that we've cultivated. Yes. But then there's, how do you take the knowledge from a second line or third line application support team and bring that closer to the agent to be able to two things, either solve the issue for our people or to understand the issue better and be able to direct it left or right. Mm-hmm. So I think, and part of that is, part of the challenge we've had, and I think, a lot of people have is keeping the knowledge fresh.
Yep.
And also, the knowledge is typically in most organizations across different platforms.
Yep.
Right. And we find, and I don't know how some of the other folks you've talked to, we find for us, it's hard to stabilize on just one platform.
Sure.
Because you have a historical use, and people also have, different teams have different ways of doing things. So for us, we find that we have to have multiple platforms, but the key is how are they integrated? And you don't want to have 20.
Yep.
Having one may be a challenge. So maybe, 3 to 5 is the kind of the sweet spot where you might have in a large organization. But the key is integrating them so everybody has access to that.
This is the old federated versus unified.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And I think what we're also trying to do, so part of the challenge is then how do you give that access to everybody, in one click, so to speak, right? And what we're trying to do is we're creating a global search, an internal global search, yep. Google, if you will, Google search for our own people to be able to type in the problem, and it'll grab the knowledge from one of those 5 or 6 systems that we have connected there. So, and that's the key for us is trying to get people, to collaborate better and to bring that knowledge closer to each other, because, knowledge is a very personalized thing to people, right? We may look at it as, hey, as an organization, we have to have access to this knowledge. But if I'm the person that's creating the knowledge, it's very personal to me in some cases, and also, very career, saves your career a little bit, right? Because if I have the knowledge,
yep.
Then they need me, right?
Yep.
So the more I spread my knowledge, but we're trying, and I think we've done a really good job within our organization across IT services to encourage people to share the knowledge, because you don't need to be the smartest person in the room, right? You need to be able to share that knowledge, because as you share, you can grow. And that's the kind of mantra that we have within our organizations, is that it's not about keeping the knowledge to ourselves. It's about sharing the knowledge so that you can grow your own self and grow your own knowledge as you go through your career.
You've got to embed that from induction onwards, haven't you?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's something we have to, you have to ingrain into people. And again, if you've been in a company for a long time and they're bringing this knowledge management thing in, you want to know everything I know. Some people have a hard time with, that first how do I share? But, you know, the more you talk about it, the more success that you show, the more honesty and transparency you have in the discussion, the more people have a tendency to join, so to speak.
Well, there's a kind of cosmic principle of give some to get some, you know, and you have to sometimes sort of get people to kind of understand that point. But there is a bit, and I'm sure this is slightly outside of, for some folk listening in on this, but, you know, there is an onwards and upwards in terms of how we're delivering service with increasing sort of automation, increasing sort of self-serve, proactive, et cetera, et cetera, and knowledge driving all of that. You know, you've got to also be painting a picture for people about the new journey they're on in terms of higher value. I mean, one of the signs of success, funny enough, is longer conversations, you know, as the simple stuff gets taken up in other kinds of ways. And funnily enough, those types of conversations, I think, are much more knowledge-rich because they are more complex. You know, they do require a certain precision. And to my mind, it's no coincidence that that new clever tech that's probably sitting in the middle of your search capability is also the one that does initial triaging, probably referencing CRM as a knowledge base in that sense, you know, and then pushing knowledge dynamically up to the desktop again, which is a reinvention of the knowledge management thing. But it's quite remarkable how, in today's world, our ability to spot intent, decipher it in real time, you know, that's a big theme in all of the work that we're doing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think we're still on that journey there, right, Martin? So we're not as sophisticated as we'd like to be in that space. And part of it is because we have a complex organization with lots of different moving pieces. And we, you know, and again, trying to get them all aligned is not an easy task. But I think, you know, the important part to me is, you know, if you're not on the journey today, get on the journey, because it's not something that you turn a light switch on and it works overnight. Right. It's something that really has to be, you know, has to be part of your strategic vision as you move forward.
It's still a North Star stuff that, you know.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. At the end of the day. So you said actually a really important thing about, which is an old problem about, if I share what I know, I'm out of a job, I'm suspicious, right. I'm not going to play the game and all of that kind of stuff. I mean, I think that is solvable, you know, definitely in the way that you've kind of talked about. So how do you, at the end of the day, because one of the interesting things about knowledge is it takes some to make it happen, you know? The interesting point is, in one respect, it's just cheaper and quicker to keep it in people's heads. You can never scale that because people leave and it's not available to other people when it's needed. But then you have to spend so much time building that thing, and it's never quite complete enough, it's never quite up to date enough, and all the rest of it. In your view, with all of that effort, what are the metrics that says it's worth the crack, we're making it work, and that's my justification for why we're focused on knowledge management? What are your sort of KPIs that drive insight into success?
Yeah, so I think, you know, some of the standardized things, one of the things we've tried not to do is to make direct KPIs linked to KM from a standpoint of, if you do 8 knowledge articles, you know, you do 8-9 knowledge articles a month.
Right.
Well, for us, what we feel is the value and the quality of the knowledge article is going to be less, right? You know, when someone's passionate about wanting to share it, it's more powerful, right? So if you're giving someone a KPI to say create 8, you're going to get pretty, maybe 8 borderline kind of articles, right? But if you drive it around, you know, looking at your first call resolution type measurements, right? Mm-hmm. Your duration of incident measurements.
Yes.
So that's how we see where knowledge is really making a difference. Also, from our team, from my organization, how much do we get to solve and how much do we pass on to the backline organizations, right? So there's a first contact resolution that we measure by, it's a phone call, right? It's a live. And then we have the at first level, which is more about what doesn't leave my team.
Containment.
Exactly. So the more that we keep it at first level, the better off for the organization, the better off for the backline team, so they can focus on the real value added stuff. And I think that's how we're trying to look at the measurement. So not necessarily the direct link to KM, but more so the secondary measurements around there, incident durations, are we resolving things faster? If that's the answer is yes, that's a win for everybody, because the user that has the challenge is working a lot faster. And we have a motto is our motto around the organization is we put people back to work, right? Because that's what we're there to do. So the more that we do that, the more DPDHL functions as an organization, right? And the more that they can then concentrate on our end customer, the people who are receiving our packages. So that's kind of our mantra within our organization. And the more we do that, the better off we are. And I think we do have conversations with our backline organizations to say, how can you help us help you?
Yep.
Right? And sometimes it's a hard conversation, right? Because not everybody, believes the help. Right. So a lot of people think there's something sneaky that Pete's trying to do here. He's checking his wallet all the time to make sure that he still has it in their pants. But I think that, we're trying to really push that to make sure that it's about a connectivity across the organizations where we're all seeing benefits from duration to resolution times to resolution in the first call or the first level. So I think those are the things that we're trying to really look at and staying away from create this many articles a month.
Yeah, I think that's good. And that actually reminds me of something. I can remember somebody standing up and saying, I inherited customer service. I was in tech. I just want my life simple. I've got three answers I've analyzed that are most required to the most popular questions. That's my knowledge base. I ain't mucking around with thousands and thousands. And one of the interesting things about knowledge, I suppose, is are you actually building the seventh wonder of the world here or what, with all the attendant problems of its relevance and all the rest of it? How do you keep an overview of that factor of how big is this jungle grown and how relevant is it? How much of that stuff within the jungle gives me first-time resolution or is incomplete and still causes escalation? Or actually has got a governance problem because it's just out of date information any longer. How do you see that for the wood for the trees?
Yeah, so I think two things you mentioned there. So I think you're absolutely correct. It's about we do review to see which knowledge articles are creating the most benefits, right? And we're looking at that, and what's being used, what's not being used, and we're trying to sunset the stuff, or at least cast it away, so that the agents don't have to sift through too much, right? So that's one of the things we're trying to do. We also have created some automated technology that allows an agent when they type something in, they type an issue in, it looks at the last few resolutions to an issue like that, so we get faster response. I think that the governance piece that you mentioned is key, right? Because if you don't, two things: if you don't have senior management support, mm-hmm. right? If you don't have managers from the highest level say knowledge is important, mm-hmm. you're not going to get the push that you need and the buy-in across multiple organizations, right? So the governance model is key, and make sure that you have your process set, before you decide what tools you're going to use, right? Because if your process is disjointed, then whatever tool you throw in is not going to be as valuable as it could be. And I'm not someone who process is necessary, but sometimes I feel process gets in the way of progress.
Yeah.
Right? So you always have to balance it, right? To have a framework of a process that works, everybody signs off on, is important. At least the 80-20 rule, right? Because you're never going to satisfy everybody. But I think it's important once you have that, you choose the tools that you want to have, or maybe you consolidate on which are the ones you agree to use. And then, senior management support has to come in from the CEO all the way down that says, we need to do this and here's why. Right. I think a lot of times, what we're doing, I think better now since the pandemic hit us. I don't know why it took so long, but I think we delivering that why is key. It's easy to see why people went from working in the office to working from home because of the pandemic. Right.
Yeah.
But it's key to keep that conversation going. So it's really important that people buy into the understanding of the reasons why we're doing what we're doing. Right. If we say what my father used to say to me because I said so, that's not always going to work for everybody. Right. So I think it's really important that governance and that support from the upper echelons
doesn't work for the modern mindset. No, you got to have a better thing.
But I still do tell my kids because I said so sometimes.
You know? You have to. No.
But we all fall back into old habits, right?
Well, we require it for a sense of control, not for anybody else's parents at the end of the day. Now, that's a really interesting answer there, yeah. So, where do you kind of see it going next, you know, in the business? Again, if I give you a bit of a fantasy, which is like, you know, no budget restrictions, no time restrictions and resource and stuff, you know, what would be your next version of your North Star to really take that to the next place?
So I think we need to do better with, you know, what is referred to, and not that I call, but I've heard and I call the wisdom of the crowd, right?
Right.
We have to get to a point where knowledge is available from someone just typing it into the universe and saying, can you help me? I have this issue. You know, where people are connected across organizations and to be at the ready, if you will, if a colleague has a challenge. And I think the more we can, you know, kind of go through the security things and get all that stuff sorted to allow people just to talk to each other, I think the better off it's going to be at the end of the day. And this is, you know, not just from an IT perspective, but, you know, the nirvana that I would see is at some point, you know, you have a chat room where people can join where they want and can ask a question. And whether it's people in the business, people in IT, you know, within DPDHL, of course, I don't think we should go out to the real universe yet. But I think, you know, contain it within DPDHL, I think that would be very powerful.
It's interesting, the move in that sense from knowledge management to knowledge sharing has been a more dynamic, proactive thing. Totally agree. It's all about making sure that information gets circulated to people who are hungry for it and connecting the people who've got it and the people who need it, you know?
Exactly. You know, you said before, and we were talking a little bit about it, you know, people hold on to knowledge. And you're right, you know, it's knowledge sharing is the same response that you get when you talk about automation to people.
Yep.
You know, if I automate my simple things, I don't have a job. And I can tell you, we've automated the hell out of things in my organization over the last couple of years. And, you know, people are increasing their skill set and looking to be, you know, once you create, you know, a plethora of RPA bots out there, you know, you need people to care for them, right? So people are increasing their knowledge and getting different career opportunities because of automation. And I think, you know, there's always going to be people that are impacted, but normally it's not because, you know, they're the sharpest tools in the shed and want to grow. It's more the fact that people who don't want to move. And the reality is we will also need people who want to stay settled in their space because we'll always need those people. But I think it's a fine balance that you have to have as an individual to say, am I ready to learn something new?
Mm-hmm.
And how can I, you know, how can I do that? Or, you know, and how can I grow my own career? And it doesn't matter if you're 20 or you're 50. You know, people, I know people at both ends of the spectrum that have both views. I'm happy where I am, or I want to grow, right? And I think that's what we have to key in on as leaders, is to make sure that people, you know, people see that opportunity, right? That light at the end of the tunnel, and it doesn't always have to be the train barreling down towards you, right? It's got to be, you know, see the benefit of the wisdom of doing things like that and sharing.
Well, I tell you, I don't know if you managed to catch the first thing of the day, but with a lady called Bonnie over at AstraZeneca, talking about, you know, the massive disruption going on in healthcare. And I just found that fascinating how her remit of knowledge management had inevitably, you know, morphed into an interest into learning and development. Because actually what she's really about is making sure that the processes of engagement and learning yield the knowledge that she's interested in.
Absolutely. You know,
and in a world that keeps changing, the half-life, I think she talked about, is huge. You know, what was relevant before, you can see it in careers, you know, suddenly careers are obsolete, you know, in an instant. So there's a really underlying strategic issue in businesses, which is how do you create an environment where you encourage people to go searching for, share it rapidly, assimilate, and are changed by it. You know, and the notion, maybe if we look at customer service back half a dozen years ago, saying this is just a system we're talking about and tagging and subject matter experts and getting legal to sign off. It's a very changed game plan that you're looking at these days.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the landscape has changed, you know, forever. And I think that, you know, what we did in the past, we need to adjust and you know, change for the future, right? And I think you're absolutely correct. Technology is just growing by leaps and bounds. Yeah. And I think if you're in the IT spectrum at all, you know, you have to be ready to adjust. And I think, you know, our users want that. We want that. So, you know, let's just find the right way to balance it. And I think, knowledge is power, right? And the more that we help people gain that knowledge, the more powerful our organizations will be. So my feeling is, in my small little part of DPDHL that has 550,000 people, whatever we can do to create that knowledge and help, we're giving the rest of the organization power. And I think that's something that can only help our bottom line as DPDHL. And that's how we're kind of viewing it from the inside out.
That's brilliant. That is a great way to complete the conversation. Totally appreciated and enjoyed that. And sounds like you're doing a great job. And it's a very interesting place to be these days, actually, the whole game plan. So thanks for sharing it. Really appreciate you turning up. Thank you.
Martin, thanks for your time. Take care.